Brilliant novels, groundbreaking nonfiction, evocative poetry, great books, and insightful conversations whenever you want them on the Talk of Iowa Book Club podcast. Pick the books that speak to you or read them all. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Later this hour, we say farewell to a broadcasting legend. Iowa Public Radio's Pat Blank is retiring. Wednesday, January 20th will be her final day on the air, and she and I will take a look back over her long career. But first, 2020 was a record year for liquor sales in the state of Iowa, even with people spending less time at bars and restaurants. Now, at the beginning of 2021, many Iowans are putting those evening cocktails on pause, participating in sober January or dry January. We'll talk about the benefits and challenges of taking a month off from drinking with Paul Gilbert, assistant professor in the Department of Community and Behavioral Health in the College of Public Health at the University of Iowa in a moment. But first, we're going to start with somebody who is participating. Steve Strassheim owns a small specialty vegetable farm called Twisted River Farm in Mitchell, Iowa. He and his wife have decided to start 2021 off with a dry January. Hello, Steve.
Hey, good morning, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here. And have you done this before?
You know, we've tried a couple times in the past with maybe marginal success, but this year's actually been going a lot easier.
Interesting. What made you want to do it this year?
Really, my wife and I just kind of, you know, post-Christmas decided, we took in a lot more calories, you know, pre-Christmas with all the goodies. We need to start eating a little bit more, intentionally. And cutting out beer and alcohol was just kind of a product of that. We were realizing that, you know, a lot of the craft beers and stuff that we so enjoy are just empty calories. So it was really kind of diet based this time around.
Oh, interesting. Do you feel like the pandemic has affected your alcohol consumption?
Yeah, I think part of the ease of this time, you know, our ongoing success, you know, we're about 3 or 4 weeks into being dry, so to speak now, is because of COVID. You know, we didn't go into any New Year's Eve parties, socially, we're not really doing much now because of the pandemic. So it's been a lot easier to avoid it now because of just not going out into public and being with friends as much.
Interesting. I mean, I think a lot of people have been drinking more because they are at home and it feels like a comforting thing to do, but I can see that there's the benefit there as well.
I think we might have been a little more in that category pre-Christmas time, in the summer and everything else when, you know, maybe we could have people in the yard and, you know, socially distanced, of course. But, I think we are definitely in that other category prior to doing this.
So what do you feel has changed for you having a dry month? What changes do you feel in your body or your mood or your energy?
Certainly all of the above. I've noticed sleeping better. It wasn't too uncommon, you know, on a Friday night. We might have a few more than we probably should have. And, you know, that night you don't sleep real well. The next day you feel a little sluggish and, now the cravings come in. So we're eating more, you know, stuff that we probably shouldn't. Definitely a lot more energy because of that. And just more, I guess, an overall clearness. You know, you don't have so many of those, again, sluggish days prior to having a couple or, just all that kind of combines together.
What do you think you'll take away after you successfully complete this month?
I would say, my wife and I were just talking about it the other day about, you know, how long are we going to do it? Are we going to stop at 30? Are we going to keep going? And honestly, I think we might either cut way back to what our prior levels were or either continue. We haven't really made any definite decisions yet, but certainly from a dietary standpoint, I always used to wonder, how come I can't lose any weight? Well, you know, we take out the beers and guess what? I've already lost 6 pounds in the last 3 weeks.
So is it a lot easier that you're doing this together?
Yeah. I don't know. I think in the past we might have one of us tailed off before the other and, you know, that kind of maybe pushed the other one to start drinking again. But this time we just kind of arm in arm doing it and hasn't really been a big deal, honestly.
Well, Steve, best of luck to you, and thanks so much for talking with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Charity.
Steve Strosheim of Mitchell, Iowa. He and his wife are participating in Sober January this year. And with me now is Paul Gilbert, assistant professor in the Department of Community and Behavior Health in the College of Public Health at the University of Iowa. He's been studying alcohol use and effects for the past 7 years. Hello, Paul.
Hello, good morning.
Oh, thank you so much for being here today. And this is a trend that's been going on for a few years. I feel like it's been growing every year. What's behind the idea of just taking a month off from drinking?
Well, you're absolutely right that this has been growing, getting more and more people interested in it. It originated in the United Kingdom quite a few years ago and has sort of spread across the globe now. I think this year especially, it's getting more attention because of the COVID pandemic and all the other stressors that we are faced with, that folks are, you know, realizing that they may have overindulged a bit. It is really common to drink in response to stress. That's one of the really consistent patterns that we see, regardless of whatever type of stressor, that's one of the things that people often turn to. And I think there's been a little bit more of a realization that, you know, folks may have been overindulging a little bit more. But the basic idea behind this dry January or sober January is to just take a break from drinking alcohol and see if maybe you want to reset your behavior or check in with how you feel or your motivations for drinking. It fits in really nicely that it happens in January because it follows the new year and it's sort of in that spirit of a New Year's resolution. But I think this is much more manageable and much more realistic than the typical resolutions we set ourselves for drastic change. It's only asking for a month of just taking a break from drinking. It also falls really nicely after the holidays when, yeah, we tend to overindulge in eating, drinking, other things. So it is a good time to just take a step back and say, well, maybe I'll stop for a bit and reassess. How do I feel? What are my motivations for drinking? What's the role of alcohol in my life? Do I want to make any changes? And some folks may continue longer being abstinent. Other folks may decide, no, I'm going to resume drinking, but maybe I'll change my habits a bit.
Well, in talking to Steve just a moment ago, I was thinking about how, you know, we do make a lot of New Year's resolutions, at least a lot of us. And with a lot of those resolutions, it takes a while to feel the benefits. You know, usually if you go on a diet, it takes a while, or you start a new exercise routine, it's going to hurt at first. But what Steve was saying was that he was feeling the benefits of this immediately. What happens when you stop drinking that people can immediately notice?
Yeah, this is one of the great aspects of it, is that we feel the effects of alcohol when we do drink pretty quickly. And then we also feel the changes when we stop drinking pretty quickly as well. And exactly what Steve mentioned, things like getting better sleep, feeling more energetic, losing some weight, all of these things people will notice pretty quickly. One of the things that people may not be aware of is that as soon as we start to consume alcohol, it immediately starts to affect our body. It affects our brain chemistry. It affects other processes in our body. And for most people, when we have a drink or two, it passes very quickly. You know, the next day our body has reset itself. We're back to our normal functioning. But some of the insidious, really subtle effects are that it does disrupt our sleep. It does affect the way the brain works through the night when we are trying to sleep, and we get poor sleep when we have alcohol in our system. So that's an immediate effect that folks tend to notice. And then other things, you know, you may have clearer skin, just feeling more energetic, better mood in general, losing weight, of course. As Steve noted, alcohol is really empty calories. There's no nutritional value. But that can actually be a great reinforcer for folks trying dry January, that they do tend to feel these beneficial effects pretty quickly. Of course, that can vary a lot from person to person, depending on how much you may have been drinking, what your pattern was. And I would caution that among folks who are very heavy drinkers and who may actually be dependent on alcohol, they're going to have a more serious concern. If you start to experience things like withdrawal symptoms, really bad cravings, that might be an indication that rather than doing it on your own, you should look for some help, maybe seek out treatment or other sorts of support. Because in very extreme cases, the detoxification process is actually a medical issue that you really need to take care of as alcohol leaves the body. But that is really in the extreme cases of very heavy and dependent drinkers.
Right. Well, and it sounds like a real wake-up call if you start through that.
Yeah.
Before we talk more about some of those more serious issues, again, back to what Steve was saying, the fact that they aren't going out this January has made things easier in his household. I know that doesn't necessarily work that way for everyone. What are some of the things that you can do to set yourself up for success with Dry January? Or if if you're inspired by this, Dry February is also... You can do it whenever you want to. But how do you set yourself up for success?
That's a great question. It's always better, always easier when you have a buddy or a spouse or somebody else to, sort of be your partner in it. And that's true with whatever sort of change you're trying to make in your life. But there are a few things that folks can do on their own. One is to think about how you might decline a drink. Say if you're going to be in situations where somebody's going to offer you something, what exactly would you say? And I think now a lot of people are aware of Dry January. So if you could try saying, I'm just trying it out. I'm taking a break for a few weeks. It's also helpful to think about or plan ahead what you're going to do in place of drinking. So it could be concretely, what will you consume when you ordinarily or in the past would have drunk alcohol? Is it sparkling water? Is it pop? Is it fruit juice? Is it something else? But also that time that you might have been drinking and the ways that you might have been drinking, do you need to think about something else to do? Another way to socialize with friends or another way to unwind at the end of the day? If you just have a few ideas or plans in mind, that'll make it easier than finding yourself in a situation like, I'm not sure what to do when I normally would sit down after dinner and have a drink or something like that.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking about Dry January right now, some of the benefits and challenges. You're welcome to join the conversation. Are you giving this a try? How's it going? 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me right now, Paul Gilbert of the College of Public Health at the University of Iowa. This is Talk of Iowa.
If you own a business or run an organization, consider using IPR as part of your marketing strategy. Let us show you how to reach our loyal radio audience, advertise on our digital platforms, and even sponsor your favorite podcast. Spread the word about your business and support IPR at the same time. It's a win-win. Learn more at iowapublicradio.org/sponsors.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Coming up in just about 15 minutes, I will be talking with Iowa Public Radio's very own Pat Blank, our All Things Considered host and longtime reporter. She is heading off into a well-deserved retirement after 33 years on the air here at IPR. So tune in for that in just a few minutes. Right now, we are talking about Dry January or Sober January. We know that 2020 was a record year for liquor sales in the state of Iowa and in many other places as well. And a lot of people are participating in Dry January this year, just taking a pause from that evening drink or whatever they've been participating in. We'll get back to talking with Paul Gilbert of the University of Iowa College of Public Health in just a moment. But I want to bring another person who has been giving Dry January a try into the conversation. Molly Monk is a grant writer in Cedar Rapids. She is participating in Dry January along with a couple of her roommates. Hello, Molly.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. Thank you so much for talking with me. And you have done Dry January before. Give me a little history.
Yeah, so I think back in 2019 was my first time doing Dry January, and I really liked it. I had a great time. And then I actually ended up spending a few more months completely sober after reading a book while drinking too much in Ireland. And I decided, this might be a nice time to take a little bit longer break from everything. And then I tried again last year and was not super successful with dry January. So this year, it just feels nice to try again.
All right. And what was the pitfall last year? Why do you think it was so much harder?
I think truly I was dating someone who wasn't super into the idea of dry January. And it was nice just to have a glass of wine or a beer together. And I didn't want to fight too much.
Well, all right. In this year, what was the thing that made you decide, I'm going to take a pause this year? And you got your roommates on board as well. Tell me how that went.
Actually, my roommates got me on board. A few of my roommates were looking to make some dietary changes and just get some better sleep. And they said, yeah, we're thinking about doing dry January. And I immediately was like, oh, yes, that sounds perfect. Please let me get in on this with you. So I jumped on the train with them.
All right.
For me, oh, sorry.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
For me, my motivation was I liked it. I enjoy having more time. I enjoy not having a hangover after a glass of wine, and it was nice.
So 15 days into the new year, how's it going?
It's going really well. I am actually doing a yoga challenge with a few of my friends, and instead of having a drink at night, I do some yoga instead, and it feels good.
Did you need to come up with something to change up your routine so that reflex glass of wine or whatever wasn't something you really were craving?
I don't think I originally started it with that intention, but it's working really well for that purpose.
And what do you think you'll take with you after this month?
I'm kind of thinking of sticking with it for a while longer. I don't see any end in sight to the pandemic or our social distancing anytime soon. And I just have so much more time now with not drinking to focus on things that actually make me feel less anxious. And I want to keep that up because the world's going to be pretty uncertain and unpredictable for a while longer.
Well, Molly, thank you so much for talking with me and good luck.
Yeah, thank you so much. Have a nice day.
You too. Molly Monks is also participating in Dry January. With me is Paul Gilbert, assistant professor in the Department of Community and Behavior Health in the College of Public Health at the University of Iowa. And Paul, one of the things that I've noticed on social media was last week when the insurrection took place, I saw a lot of people post, well, there goes dry January. And so, you know, in response to an extreme amount of stress, a lot of people reach for that drink. If you have a bad day and you have a drink and you weren't planning on it, does that mean your dry January is over?
Yeah, I saw the same thing on social media, and I chuckle a bit because it doesn't mean the end of dry January. And I think if there's one lesson we've learned from 2020, it's that we need to be flexible and forgiving with ourselves. So if there's a day that is really bad and you decide, no, I'm going to have a drink, start again the next day. That's fine. Or maybe you don't do the full month, but you do 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Do what you can. Do what feels good for you. Give it a try as you're best able. I think that's a good, realistic approach. The thing about this, like I said before, is that it's unlike other traditional New Year's resolutions where we set really, you know, lofty goals that are frankly doomed to failure a lot of times. This is intended to be manageable, to be helpful in terms of, you know, just helping us reflect on what our drinking patterns are like and what's the role of alcohol in our lives. So I would just encourage everyone, give it the best shot, you know, if this is what you're trying to do.
Now, I have seen a number of articles about dry January. You've talked about the immediate benefits, mm-hmm. you know, just the mood lift, the feeling better, the sleeping better, et cetera. But there are actually some significant health benefits to taking a month off from drinking, aren't there?
Right, right. You know, one of the things that we don't maybe realize is that there are some pretty important risks to consuming alcohol, even at what we consider low risk levels. We never say that drinking is safe or has zero risk. The safest thing to do is just not consume it at all. But even at low but steady levels over the life course, it's associated with greater risk of some cancers, cognitive decline, high blood pressure, things that you may not see immediately, but that, you know, a decade, 2 decades later, you know, alcohol could have contributed to that. It's hard sometimes to puzzle out all the different factors that contribute to it. But we do know pretty clearly and pretty consistently that alcohol consumption, even at these low but steady regular levels, is associated with a number of health problems that oftentimes show up later in life.
Now, I do want to talk a little bit about some more serious issues. Now, when you, you know, talk about setting yourself up for success and maybe mm-hmm. changing some of your habits so that you won't just reach for that drink. If you have a really, really hard time with Dry January, if you find that not taking a drink is really difficult for you, is that a warning sign that you need to think about?
It could be if you find yourself, with cravings that you can't manage, or as you stop drinking, if you start experiencing some of the withdrawal symptoms, shaking, nausea, needing to take medications to sort of manage how you're feeling, that could indicate a more serious problem. And you may want to get some help, either, you know, get evaluated to see if you do have a problem. This requires a professional to do an assessment. One of the great resources, actually, I'll mention two great resources online. First is, if you just want to know more about what's considered high-risk versus low-risk drinking, the National Institutes of Health has a website called Rethinking Drinking. And if you just go online and search Rethinking Drinking, NIH, that should pop up right away. But it's got a lot of great information explaining drinking patterns and related harms and hazards and, you know, good food for thought. But if you are concerned that you may have a problem and may need more serious help, the National Institutes of Health also has a very helpful webpage called the Treatment Navigator. And again, if you just type in those words, Treatment Navigator, NIH, it should pop up. But there it explains in really good, clear, plain language, so no scientific jargon, what treatment is, and what to look for if you're looking for help, what to look for in a treatment program, where to find it. There's also a hotline to call if you're looking for a referral. And also it talks about some strategies for low-risk drinking or quitting drinking.
Let's talk a little bit about the culture here in Iowa. I mean, I think the culture all over the United States is a very pro-drinking culture. If you look around, it's on television, it's in movies, it's everywhere you look. The advertisements are constant. The jokes are constant. The T-shirts, all, you know, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
In Iowa, we are considered to be a heavy drinking state. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, you're right. There is a really fascinating paradox about alcohol use. And this is really what got me interested in studying it, that it is a substance that's been around for thousands and thousands of years, that plays a really central role in human culture across the globe, in how we socialize, how we mark important life events. And it is a legal substance. And we have to recognize that the majority of folks who choose to drink do so in low risk ways. But at the same time, there are a lot of harms that come from it. We all know that there's the potential for dependence. We've all seen instances, or maybe even experienced it ourselves personally, where, you know, we've drunk too much, or problems related to drinking. And in Iowa in particular, we are a heavy drinking state in a heavy drinking region of the country. It's not distributed equally across the country in drinking patterns. There is this regional variation. And what we see in Iowa is that it's not that we have more people drinking. We actually are about on average with the nation in terms of the number of adults who consume alcohol. But among those drinkers, they are consistently above the national average in the quantity consumed. So we have about the same level of people who choose to drink, but they're drinking more than the national average. And that's concerning because of all these different effects. You know, alcohol not only has the health effects on us individually, but it contributes to other greater harms. You know, folks in our households or close to us that may be harmed by our drinking, it increases the risk of things like car crashes, you know, violence, risky sexual behavior. And as I mentioned just a bit ago, there are a number of long-term health consequences, greater risk of cancers, stroke, cognitive decline that are associated with that. And we do see a pretty substantial burden of alcohol-related costs here in Iowa. estimated at close to $2 billion a year. And that includes healthcare, criminal justice, lost workplace productivity, and other related costs.
In an environment like this, do you have concerns that makes it harder to not drink? Because it does. It feels like everybody's doing it, because apparently they almost all are.
It does somewhat. I think the more pressing concern right now is probably all the stress that we feel from the COVID pandemic, and especially here in Eastern Iowa from the derecho. I think that's probably a more immediate concern. One of the heartening things that I like to remind folks is that, you know, not everybody drinks. And as sort of our peer English-speaking countries go, there's a greater proportion of Americans who are non-drinkers than in Australia or Canada or the UK. So everywhere we can find, you know, peers who don't drink or maybe used to drink and no longer do. But yeah, the social pressure of just the norm of this is how we socialize, or, you know, when we want to go out, we go to the bar. That can be pretty tough. Yeah.
Let's bring another caller into the conversation. I'm talking with Paul Gilbert of the University of Iowa College of Public Health. Dan is on the line in Des Moines. Hi, Dan.
Oh, hi.
And you stopped drinking last September. Why did you decide to make that change?
Well, I guess I was thinking about it for several months and kind of would target dates on the calendar. And then my the anniversary of my mother's passing away on September 19th, 2019. So it was a year anniversary. So I just said, okay, I'm going to do it now. Because mostly it's about my the fact I'm 65 now. And, you know, experiencing difficulty, challenges with, especially in the gastrointestinal area, and related other issues, you know, just trying to get used to my new body now, my new old body. And so it's really about, like, you know, the fact that I really recognize that, maybe I'm have sensitivity to hops, you know, because I was really into, you know, like sampling different IPAs in particular with the different layering of hops and things.
So, and Dan, I don't want to rush you. We don't have a whole lot of time. How has not drinking changed you? What do you think? Do you feel like there have been a lot of benefits for you?
Well, there has. I've been able to, you know, just get under control better with, you know, just on my health score. And so it's... You know, I really wanted to probably continue, but I think I'm going to, you know, stay off of it because it just, you know, I think it's just kind of like almost like food allergies, I guess. You know,
interesting.
So I think it's just, you know, kind of the fact that I'm, you know, just gotten older and, you know, I'm just more sensitive to it, I guess. It's probably where I'm at.
Dan, thank you so much for calling and sharing your experience. And Paul, we do have just a couple of minutes left here. And we talked about how if it's really difficult to take a week or a month off of drinking, that could be a sign that you have a problem. And you are not necessarily recommending that people need to never drink, which I know is a really difficult thing to contemplate for a lot of people. But what is your advice?
Yeah, my perspective is, well, the safest thing to do is not drink at all. And that's clear from the scientific evidence. But we also know that most people who choose to drink can do it in low risk ways. So pay attention and make sure that you're not drinking in ways that might harm yourself, where you don't feel these bad effects. So, and it's not harming anybody else, and it's not getting in the way of fulfilling your obligations, family, work, social, otherwise. So if you're of legal age, if you choose to drink, and if you're able to do it in ways that aren't harming yourself or others, that's your choice. And of course, the safest thing really is just not to drink at all, because we can't guarantee that even at low levels, we can't say that there's no risk.
So again, what are some of the warning signs that you may need to ask somebody for help if taking a week off of drinking is not something you can do?
Yeah, there's a whole set of 11 different symptoms of an alcohol use disorder. And briefly, these are things like spending more time on drinking or drinking more than you intended, sort of that getting carried away and unable to stop, experiencing physical or mental disturbances when you stop drinking, so the shaking or hallucinations, tremors, things like that, having a craving that is unmanageable, failure to fulfill work, family, other sort of social obligations, drinking in ways that lead to injury or potential for injury. So especially, you know, probably drinking and driving. Now, any one of those things on its own doesn't necessarily mean it, but we look at the combination of what are the effects of drinking out of this whole set of 11 symptoms that we use to diagnose alcohol use disorder.
Paul Gilbert, thank you so much for talking with me today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Paul Gilbert is assistant professor in the Department of Community and Behavior Health in the College of Public Health at the University of Iowa. We've been talking about Dry January, and I've shared a few of the resources that Paul shared with me that can be very helpful if you're interested in giving something like this a try. Coming up in just a moment, Pat Blank is retiring after 33 years on the air here at Iowa Public Radio. She and I will take a look back. This is Talk of Iowa.